Well, it's good to have people here this morning, and I want to go through basically the final message that we've got in this series. And we've been looking at a passage of scripture in Mark 8, and I want to carry on with that this morning and try and wrap this series up a little bit. So in Mark 8, we've been focused in on the scripture from verse 14 to 16. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." Totally fascinating that these guys did not have a clue what Jesus was talking about. And they got the total wrong end of the stick, and they thought that Jesus was ticking them off and exposing their lack and their, lack of being organized, lack of having bread, lack of thinking, whatever. I'm sure they were going through all kinds of things as to who was meant to buy the bread. Why haven't we got the bread? They were off thinking and reasoning through all kinds of things that was so far away from what Jesus was talking about. And it illustrates very vividly that what we understand about what Jesus is saying to us is affected by our own reasoning and what's happening in our heart. And the parable about the soils is about the heart and how what's happening in our heart affects what we understand and how well we're able to receive the word. But the illustration of the leaven really addresses the whole area of our mindsets. And so we're going to wrap this up this morning. And we've been looking at what leaven is about. A lot of people have thought that leaven is a picture of sin, but it's not actually sin. It's a picture of influence. And leaven or yeast is small, but it enlarges and it impacts everything. Once you add yeast to the flour, it's only a little bit that you add, but it impacts the whole lump of the dough. And it is a persuasion or a pattern of thought that infiltrates the mind. So it really is zeroing in on our thoughts and our mind. And it impacts how we think, what we hear, and what we believe. So it's small, but it's very powerful. And we have been looking at the leavens. We've looked at the leaven of Pharisee and the leaven of Herod, which is what Jesus mentions in this verse that we've been looking in Mark 14. But there is another aspect of leaven, and that's the leaven of the kingdom, and that's the one that we're going to look at today. So we've gone through and we have had a look at the leaven of the Pharisees, which is the religious mindset. It's legalistic, it's works focused, and it's knowledge based. And as a mindset, it is very judgmental and critical, and it's like this is the set way, it must be done, and it can only be done this way. And we're fairly used to the leaven of the Pharisees. We've encountered it probably quite a few times as believers, and we recognize it quite quickly. But last week, we had a look at the second one, which Jesus addresses in Mark, which is the leaven of Herod. If you weren't here, I'll put the message up online and you can listen to it because it's the political mindset. And it's the one I believe that we are coming to terms with at the moment. It's humanistic, self-focused, and it's fear-based. It uses intimidation and control. And as we saw last week, the underlying thing of it is contrary to the kingdom, and it can actually become violent. So again, if you weren't here last week and didn't catch that message, I encourage you to do so. Because again, I believe this is a mindset that we are experiencing in the world that we are in at this point in time. So it's been very interesting going through and having a look at these mindsets and how Jesus said, beware, take heed. In other words, recognize these leavens and beware of them. Don't pick them up. Don't let them become part of your life. The leaven that is meant to be part of our life is the leaven of the kingdom. So it's a kingdom mindset. It's spirit-led, it's God-focused, it's faith-based. Both the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod are fear-based. And you can feel the fear. And if there's one thing that probably characterizes our world at the moment, it's fear. Most people are operating out of fear because they're either operating out of religious or political mindset. But I believe God is calling us to a place of working from a kingdom mindset where we operate by faith, we're governed by love, and we walk according to the kingdom of God. And that can be a bit of a challenge, but I believe that's what the Lord's calling us to. So let's have a look this morning at this kingdom mindset or the leaven or yeast of the kingdom. So we're going to go to Matthew 13. Verse 33 says, another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Obviously, the leaven does not refer to sin because it does not fit within this parable. The leaven is influence. And Jesus, in Matthew 13, he tells 2 parables. The first is of the mustard seed and then of the leaven. Both those incidents, he's talking about something that is small but is powerful. The mustard seed is the smallest seed regarding for something that becomes a tree. And again, the same concept here. You've got leaven. It may seem small, but it has a huge impact. And I like this verse in the Passion Translation. It says this, then he taught them another parable. Heaven's kingdom realm can be compared to yeast that a woman takes and blends into 3 measures of flour and then waits until all the dough rises. So this whole picture of taking something that is seemingly small and working it into the flour and into the dough and then waiting for the impact of that. And to me, it brings out 3 aspects regarding the leaven, which I think is worth taking note of. It's work. If you've needed bread and you're making bread by hand, yes, it's work. It's unseen. You're dealing with yeast. You don't see it. It's small. It takes time. And sometimes when it comes to the things of the kingdom, it can feel like it takes time and we're not seeing results instantly. But it's working, and it's working though we do not perceive it and we do not see it. And praying, reading the Bible, worshiping, meeting for church, all those things, they take work. They take involvement, but they have an impact on our life. Even though we might not see it at first, they do have an impact. And I believe that the Lord wants to encourage us that, you know, we might not fully grasp the impact of what is happening in our lives as we simply do the things that He has called us to do. But as we need the aspects of the kingdom into our lifestyle, it will impact who we are. I want to go now to the Old Testament, and I want us to look at an Old Testament instruction and how it applies to our life now and to what I believe God is doing at this time in history. So it's Exodus 12, verse 13. This is the night of the Passover. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Most of us as believers recognize and understand the power of the blood, and that the Passover, when they put the blood on the door, they actually formed the cross. And it is a prophetic picture of Jesus coming as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. But there is hidden also within this some other things that I believe is for our instruction. And the Lord, I think, wants to highlight some aspects there. Verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Quite a strict command here. But what the Israelites were to do was they were to clean out every trace of leaven from their households. They were to sweep their house to get rid of all the breadcrumbs. They were to remove anything that had leaven in it. And for 7 days, they were to eat unleavened bread. And again, a lot of people have seen this, well, they had to get rid of sin. The only thing that gets rid of sin is the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that removes our sin. And it's not us removing sin. It's us removing the other influences from our life. And they were to clean out the old leaven. And they were to have a season where they had for 7 days no leaven. And I believe that it's a beautiful picture of God saying, I want you to let go of all the mindsets that come from the world and from the religious system. And I want you to allow me to talk to you so that you bring in new leaven, new influence, new understanding into who you are and what you live like and how you operate in this world. And obviously the Passover is a picture of the cross and what Jesus has done for us. And that is meant to affect our mindset. We don't have the religious mindset anymore where we're trying to be good enough. We're trying to measure up. And if I'm just a good person, God might accept me. No, that's the religious leaven. We clean that out of the house. We say the blood of Jesus is enough. His blood paid for my sin. By his stripes, I was healed. It's cleaning out the old leaven. You're not going to be healed because you do good and live good. You're going to be healed because Jesus provided for our healing at the cross. It is also a picture, though, of renewing our mindsets to what God is doing in our life at this time. And that we don't want the leaven of the Pharisees and we don't want the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod is being self-made. It's doing life without God. And, you know, Bill Johnson says, you've got a lot of unbelieving believers. They're living life like God does not exist. and like he is not involved in the world that we are in. God is very much involved. COVID has not taken him by surprise. Where we are at is not of concern to him in the sense that he doesn't know what to do. He's declared, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And there's some people as believers that need to grab hold of that and say, that's God's word over me. I'm getting rid of the old leaven. I'm laying hold of the new leaven. And it's fascinating, you know, when we come into the New Testament and we see the Passover and we see what is referred to as the Holy Week, the week leading up to the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. So let's have a look at that. It starts with Jesus coming into Jerusalem. He rides in on a donkey. He is welcomed by the people as the king. Does anyone know what he does next? What's the very next thing that Jesus does after he is welcomed and received into Jerusalem? Well, hopefully I'm making you think. Matthew 21:12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus cleaned out the old leaven. Fascinating that he went in to the temple and he cleansed the temple. Why? Because it was Passover and it was time to clean out the old leaven. And I believe the Lord wants to clean out the old leaven from the temple. Because if we have the old leaven, we are living under the influence of thieves and robbers. Because the devil only comes to steal. And many times he steals from us because of our unrenewed mindsets. Because we're still thinking either religious thinking or we're thinking in line with Herod and the political worldview. God has something so much better for us. And he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I would like to suggest that the woman kneading the dough is a picture of the body of Christ praying and working into their life and into this world the ways of the kingdom of God. There is a new leaven that needs to be released into this earth, and it is released through people who know how to pray, who know how to think in line with the kingdom of God, who are going after the things of the kingdom and saying, I am not going to live under fear. I'm going to live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me, who knows exactly what is happening at this time. You know, it's fascinating. It says, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2. It says that if the devil had known what God's plan was, he would not have crucified the Lord. Through the death of one came the life of many. God is not surprised by what is happening at this point in time. And the devil may be trying to throw his best shot at the church. But God has said, I'm going to have a glorious church. And he is at work in our lives, renewing our mindsets so that we are operating in line with the kingdom of God. There is a huge emphasis on prayer at this time. And I encourage you, if you're in lockdown and it's like, well, I don't know what I'm meant to be doing with my time, I've got a very good suggestion for what you should be doing with your time. And that is getting into the Word of God, getting into prayer. Yes, it's work. Yes, you might feel like it doesn't bring much result, but you are adding leaven. You're adding the influence of the kingdom of God into your life and through you into the world around you. And I want to finish this morning by having a look at Romans, because Romans talks about this whole process. And as we move to there, let's just sum up. The leaven of the kingdom is needed into our life through prayer. It involves the renewing of the mind, getting rid of the old mindsets, bringing in the kingdom mindset, and it results in transformation. Romans 12, as I promised, we go there. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe the challenge for the body of Christ right now is regarding mindsets. It's regarding how we think. Because how we think will affect how we live, how we treat one another. Can we love one another, even though we have different opinions? Can we be there and support one another, even if maybe we don't agree with the decisions of one another? Are we a people of love? Or are we going to pick up the political spirit and become a people of judgment and a people of criticism and a people where there's no alternatives? Yeah, God loves freedom. He loves liberty. He gives us a freedom of choice. Are we going to live according to the leaven of the kingdom? Or are we going to succumb to the mold of this world and live according to the thoughts and ways of this world? I believe God is calling us to recognize that our minds need to be renewed so that we're thinking in line with him, because it's only when our minds are renewed and we're thinking the ways of the kingdom that we start to prove or live out and experience the will of God. The will of God is going to be seen in this earth through people who have their minds renewed to the kingdom and are not subject to the dictates of this world, but live from a greater world, his world. So I believe that's the challenge for us at the moment. And I believe God is breaking the mold of what church looked like, what Christianity looked like. We are in Reformation too. What does that look like? I believe it is a reformation. Oh, we say reformation. You know, we talk about the reformation of Martin Luther. And we say the word fast enough that we don't pick up on what it is actually saying or implying. It is a reformation. I don't think we go back to life as it was. COVID has changed the world. And we can look at that from the natural, and we can look at it from the point of view of lockdowns and everything like that. I'm encouraging, look at it from the point of view of the kingdom. What's God doing? And I want us to look at this word in this passage of scripture, which is transformed. It is the word metamorpho, which is where we get the word metamorphosis. metamorphosis is the changing of the caterpillar to the butterfly. We like butterflies. Butterflies are pretty. Trouble is, most of us are still living as caterpillars. We're still crawling around rather than soaring in the heavenlies. But there's only one way that a caterpillar can get to be a butterfly, and that is through being in the chrysalis. The chrysalis is a place of confinement. It's a place of lockdown, if you like. And what happens within the cocoon that this caterpillar finds itself in is everything turns to mush. All the structure goes. Everything that it relied upon disintegrates. And out of that lack of structure, that lack of form, God brings a new form. He brings the form of the beautiful butterfly. I would like to suggest that God is transforming the body of Christ. And we can get our eyes on what is happening in the world, or we can get our eyes on the Lord and what he wants to do. I believe he wants to do something amazing in the body of Christ. He's bringing in new leaven. But the leaven has got to be brought out of the jar and sprinkled into the flour. He calls us salt. He calls us light. He calls us leaven. All of those are pictures of us getting involved in the world that God has placed us in. We love to withdraw and be in our safe little huddles. But I believe the time is coming where God is starting to work us into the society in which we live, that we might be the leaven that we're called to be. And that process requires the transformation of the body of Christ. But this word transformation, though to us it sounds scary, let me encourage you by another translation of that word. It's where Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. Exact same word. And it said that he was seen in his glory. In fact, the original concept and picture there is that even his clothes flashed with lightning. I didn't try and put up a picture for you of that. There's no picture that could adequately do justice to Jesus transformed on the mountain of transfiguration. That's where he's taking us. And who he truly was no longer veiled, and was no longer veiled by the flesh. And I believe God is taking the body of Christ to the place where we are no longer veiled, but we start to be revealed for who we are as daughters and sons of the living God. He's coming back for a glorious church. And he's calling the church to recognize who she is and what she has been called with to. So to sum up, I believe that God has got us at an amazing time in history. My encouragement to you is don't be restricted and confined to the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod. It's time to get rid of the old leaven. God's bringing in new leaven, and I believe it starts with prayer. It starts with us. It starts with us working into our life the things of the kingdom of God. And I believe that that is where the Lord has us at this point in time, that he wants us to embrace the ways of the kingdom and the thinking of the kingdom. And in finishing, I want us to have communion together. I want us to take the bread. I don't know what your bread looks like. Your bread may be leavened bread, or it may be unleavened. This is unleavened. Normally, when we take communion, we think of the bread as being the body of Christ, and it is. But it is also a picture of having the mind of Christ or the mind of the flesh. And as we partake this morning of the bread, I want to pray for us that we will be a people who know how to clean out the old leaven, and that we might lay hold of the new leaven of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are not taken by surprise by anything that happens in our world. Lord, you are with your people. You are with us. Lord, I thank you. You never left us, and you never will. And Lord, we rejoice in the fact that your word says that you turn all things for good. Lord, every time that the devil tries to stop the church or hinder the church, Lord, it only multiplies. Because, Lord, you work the leaven of your people into society, that society might be impacted by people who know you. So, Lord, I thank you. And I thank you for the call to prayer, the call to embrace your mindset and to pray it into our life and into our world. And Lord, I pray that as we take communion this morning, Lord, for that recognition that communion is fellowship. It's fellowship with you. And your word says, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? Lord, we want to agree with heaven. We want to have our mind set on the things above, and Lord, not caged or confined by the things of this world and this realm. So Lord, we partake this morning, and Lord, we pray for the transformation of the body of Christ for your glory. Amen. Let's take the bread. And Lord, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood that speaks. Lord, it speaks of our forgiveness, our wholeness, our protection, our provision, our security. Lord, I thank you that everything that we need is provided through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we honor you this morning as we partake of the communion, and we thank you that you are with us. You are our help. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be those, Lord, that know what it is to think in line with you. We have your mind. And I pray, Lord, even as Paul prayed, Lord, for an increase in wisdom and understanding. And Lord, as we take of the communion this morning, we receive, and we receive with grateful hearts, knowing that you're a God who loves us and has provided for us. Amen.